So imagine a massive, beautifully crafted ship. The woodwork is pristine, the sails are full, but down in the hull, there's this tiny, almost silent drip.
Right, you probably just ignore it. I mean, because it's literally a single drop.
Exactly, you ignore it, but give it enough time, and that invisible leak just drags the entire vessel straight to the bottom of the ocean.
So, welcome to today's deep dive. I'm looking at this from my usual perspective as a psychology professor, and today we're pulling from your week two, day three workbook materials.
Yeah, getting right into law two, which is always be frugal, never be cheap.
Right. And our mission today is to get you completely prepped for your daily reflection. So, looking at the text, what stands out immediately is how radically differently the brain processes, cheapness versus frugality.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Bringing my background in neuroscience to this, it's actually fascinating how distinct those two concepts are biologically. Right, and I think that distinction is captured perfectly in the first reflection quote from Benjamin Franklin. He said, "Beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship."
That's the ship metaphor you just used.
Yeah, exactly. And from a behavioral psychology standpoint, cheapness is rarely this one massive, ruinous decision. It's a series of micro decisions. Small, cheap expenses just bypass our cognitive alarm bells because they simply don't feel threatening in the moment.
Which is such a weird paradox, right? Like, we are acutely aware of one large purchase, but entirely blind to a dozen small ones that add up to the exact same amount.
Right. But wait, if our brains are so highly evolved to protect us from danger, why would they filter out a financial leak? I mean, shouldn't our internal alarms be ringing every time we hemorrhage resources?
You would think so, yeah. But evolution prioritizes immediate acute threats over, slow, abstract ones. The brain operates like this incredibly stingy energy manager.
Oh, wow. So it's basically rationing power.
Exactly. It constantly shuts off the lights in certain rooms, meaning it dims our awareness of small, non-lethal expenses just to save metabolic power for escaping immediate predators. If a small expense doesn't cause immediate pain, the brain just filters it out as harmless background noise.
Wait, really? So it's literally habituating to poor choices just to save energy. We are fighting millions of years of evolutionary efficiency here.
We really are. And if Franklin's view is about avoiding those micro dangers, the other quote for today pulls us in a completely different direction.
The Warren Buffett one.
Yeah, Buffett says, "Price is what you pay, value is what you get." And that shift from price to value is mechanically profound in the brain.
How so? Like, what's happening under the hood?
Well, when you obsess over finding the absolute cheapest price, your brain actually treats money like a finite food source during a famine. It activates the amygdala, which is our fear and scarcity center. You start reacting from a state of biological survival panic.
So you're saying trying to save 50 cents on a poorly made tool triggers the exact same circuitry as starving?
It's the exact same fundamental scarcity response.
Yeah.
It's a biological stressor. But when you evaluate value, which is, true frugality, you are doing math. You're predicting long-term utility.
Right, which takes logic.
Exactly. That forces blood flow up to the prefrontal cortex, the area responsible for complex resource allocation.
That makes total sense. And this is exactly why your practice stack for day three focuses so heavily on reflection. Your mission today is to select one of those two quotes, Franklin or Buffett.
Whichever one really speaks to your own mental wiring.
Right. Then you'll use a search tool or an AI tool to find an additional quote of your own that hits home for you and add both to your daily practice page.
And the instruction to physically write or type these quotes out is vital here. I mean, reading is often a passive, low-friction activity.
It just washes right over you.
Yeah. But when you physically write a quote out, you engage your motor cortex. This deliberate physical action forces the brain out of its comfortable autopilot. It requires higher-level cognitive processing to translate thought into movement.
Oh, so it physically strengthens the neural pathways forming around those frugal concepts. You're building a structural roadblock to interrupt the amygdala's panic response.
Precisely. It encodes the data much deeper.
So going forward, your three times a day practice stack consists of your two selected quotes, your three distill points, and your three code rewrites. By practicing these together, you're actively forcing the prefrontal cortex to overwrite that scarcity panic with logic.
And it takes just a few minutes, but the compounding effect of repeating that motor cognitive loop is massive for behavioral change.
Absolutely. Getting this baseline locked in today is crucial because tomorrow things get highly tactical. For day four, we'll be looking into the True Method, a really powerful framework for evaluating the actual long-term cost of your decisions.
Yes, I can't wait for that one. But to wrap up today, think about this. If the brain operates like an overly frugal energy manager, constantly dimming our awareness of small leaks to save power, what other slow drips are you currently ignoring simply because they don't feel like an immediate threat?